Paul. He knew how to use the words to touch and challenge and stir the hearts of the people that he was writing to because he wanted to bless them. He knew what it was like to use your words to reach out and build people up and make them somebody in God's name. So he wrote to the Romans, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." To the Philippians, he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And to the Corinthians, he wrote, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." Words have great power to bless people. As we heard Kristen share just a little while ago, you can use words to build people up. You can use words to tear people down. And Paul understood the strength and the power of words. And he also knew this. He had great affection and love for these churches, most of whom he planted. And he had watched them grow, and he had watched them as they had grown deeper in their faith. And he wanted them to know, "I love you. I care about you. I thank God for you. I pray for you." Paul understood something we all need to learn, and that is that our words have power as well. Power to build up, power to tear down. You know, when you're little, you learn that children's poem, remember? "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words could never hurt me." Wrong. Of course they can. When someone uses words to tear you down, they can steal your confidence, they can take your courage, they can break your world apart. So many of us, because we've been the victims of the words of other people, find ourselves shattered and wondering, "Where in the world can I turn to find any hope in this world?" On the other hand, words that build you up give you the strength you need to face whatever challenge may come your way. Encouraging words mean more than you can imagine. You never know how much others are blessed by the words that you use. And sometimes we take our words for granted. And sometimes we don't realize how harmful words that tear down can be, or what a blessing words that build you up can be in your life. I had an incredible experience several years ago when my father passed away. My sister was kind of going through his things at the house, and she came and she brought something to me that I had no clue even existed anymore. She brought me a letter that she found in the drawer of my father's dresser. And it was a letter that I had written to him years before and just said, "Thank you. Thank you for the way you've blessed our family. Thank you for the faith that you shared with me. Thank you for guiding us and taking care of us through the years." I think I probably was graduating from college when I wrote that letter. And years later, I found out he had never thrown it away. Astounding. Why? Words. Words. That's why the second expression of the biblical blessing is spoken words. Last week, we learned about the first element of the blessing, loving touch. Now this morning, I want us to look at the power of using words, encouraging words to build one another up. Intentional words intended to build up, revealing faith in God's promise. No wonder the Bible says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What does he say? What does the Bible tell us? Words. Use words. Always words. To build one another up and to help one another know about the power of God to empower families. Let me tell you something. If you really want to bless your family, one of the things you need to know is there's nothing more powerful than powerful, positive words that you speak into their lives. So stop and ask yourself this morning a few questions. Maybe one like this. What are the words you want others to hear you saying? What blessings do you want to speak into the lives of those you love the most? How do you want to encourage and build them up? What do you want to tell them about the Lord? To bless with words means loving your family intentionally. Here's the biggest mistake that many of us make. Many of us, particularly when we think about our families, particularly when we think about the people we love the most, we say something like this to ourselves. They know how I feel. They know I love them. They know that I would do anything for them. They know. But maybe they don't. And maybe they still need for you to say those words. Let me tell you how precious you are to me. How much the Lord loves you. How far you can go in trusting Christ in every area of your life. Let me tell you how important it is that you know Him. 2 Timothy reveals a model for using words well. You see, Paul never had a son. Well, not a son through physical birth, but he had a son in Christ. His name was Timothy. And Paul described Timothy as his son in the ministry. And like every father, Paul realized his words had incredible impact on Timothy's life. And so he reached out to him. I'm not going to get lost again this time. And he chose to use his words well to bless his son. And in the passage we read together just a few minutes ago, Paul shared some very special words. Words chosen to challenge and encourage Timothy in the ways that he would always remember. Paul was at a point where he realized his earthly life was about to come to a conclusion. He was about to leave this world and make his way to heaven. And he wanted to make sure that when he was gone, Timothy had those words of encouragement that he would always remember. He wanted to make sure there was nothing left unsaid. And so the passage that Paul offered to Timothy is one God wants you to use to bless your family today. So let's look together for a few minutes at 2 Timothy. And the first thing you want to know is this. Paul used words to tell Timothy he had been given an incredible gift. Paul told Timothy to stir up that gift of God which is in you. Paul wanted Timothy to know this. Your life has incredible value. Your life is the vessel of a gift of God. Stir it up. You are God's unique creation. That's a message that all of us need to hear. We all know, okay, you're created, you're unique, you're a creation of God. But you know what? We all really hunger to be told that we really matter. All of us want to know the one who made you and loved you and gave himself for you cares about you deeply. You can trust the Lord. Paul told Timothy, God had placed incredible potential in him. The Lord had given him a unique spiritual gift that he was going to use to make a difference for Christ across the known world. But here's the thing. the gift did not come fully formed. Timothy tells us it came in the form of divine potential. What does he say? Stir up that gift. Stir up that gift that's in you. God put it there. It's full of potential. Now, stir it up. I know nothing about baking a cake. No, that's not true. I know less than nothing about baking a cake. But I do know this. If you're going to bake a cake and you get out, Chris, you're looking at me hard. If you're going to bake a cake, you can't get out flour and sugar and eggs and what else goes in there? Baking powder? What? Oil. Thank you. I didn't know that. You can't just pour all the things in a bowl and then stick it in an oven and expect the cake to come out, can you? You've got to put the ingredients together, and then you've got to stir it up and prepare that batter that can become something very special. And the Lord tells us you've got to do the same thing with your faith. You've got to stir up that gift that God has placed in you. As far as I know, nobody ever comes out instantly, fully, spiritually mature. It takes time and it takes effort. But eventually, if you stick with it, God will make something special out of you. The Lord wanted Timothy to bring his potential to reality, and that's the power of a blessing. When someone challenges you to stir up your gift and become somebody special and use all of your potential and become what the Lord saved you to be, that's powerful. I remember when my own kids were little, I told Judith while they were very small, if I couldn't give them any other gift, I wanted to give them the gift of self-confidence. I wanted them to know they could face the world and take it on. I wanted to prepare them to be able to try hard and trust the Lord and not be afraid. And because I made that commitment when they were little, they very seldom heard me say things like, be careful, don't try, that's too hard. Instead, I wanted to use my words to say, you can do this. I believe in you. Don't be afraid to try. I challenged them to excel in their chosen sports and to make the people around them better as well. And they did. And I challenged them to look people in the eye, to lead by example, to encourage other people, to believe they could trust the Lord. I wanted them to be self-confident. At least I thought I did. Until that summer that Bethany did study abroad and she went to South Africa, and the next thing I knew, we were hearing about her going down in a shark cage and jumping off the highest bridge that you can bungee jump off of in the world. I was so glad I saw the video before I knew she had done it. Maybe I tried too hard to tell them to be self-confident. Nothing you can say to your children is more important than to let them know they have a gift to develop and offer back to the Lord because He's the one that gave it to them. Not only that, Paul challenged Timothy to be unashamed of his testimony. He challenged him to live faithfully and boldly. He told him to be bold in embracing his faith in Christ. Let it show so people can see. These days it can be far too easy to avoid revealing your faith, at least out in public. Because after all, people might criticize you. They could judge you. It could cost you professionally and socially. Somebody might even unfriend you if you're bold about your faith. What does Paul tell us to do? Be bold anyway. Let your faith show. Let your testimony for Christ be a part of who you are. If you think that you might have it hard sometime, think about the world in which Paul and Timothy lived. Extreme paganism, absolute skepticism, the constant threat of prison, even death. Paul would say, "Oh, somebody said something bad about you. That's too bad. They threw rocks at me. They beat me with whips. They threw me in prison. I gave up on life itself. I think you'll be okay." Paul prepared Timothy to expect struggles and hardship because of his faith. He wanted Timothy to know that if you trust Christ, that doesn't mean life is going to be an easy thing. It doesn't mean everything's always going to be your way, everything's going to turn out the way you want it to, you're never going to struggle, you're not going to have any problems because, after all, you're God's favorite. Doesn't mean that at all. He wanted Timothy to know following Christ is going to cause you to pay a price. There are going to be some times when, because of your faith, you will experience rejection, and you will experience skepticism, and you will experience those who might even want to cause you harm because of what you believe and who you are. Timothy, it's going to be hard sometimes, but it's worth it. It's worth it. He said, "For this reason, I suffer these things." That's Paul's testimony. For this reason, because of who I am, because of my love for Christ, I suffer these things. He wasn't complaining, he was just being honest. That's what it's like to be a person of faith in a tough world. There are going to be times when, because you have a faith, people are going to reject you for who you are and what you believe. But he also knew the way that he responded to those challenges earned him the right to make Christ known. Because I remain faithful when it's hard, because I stand strong when I am rejected, because I am willing to be a testimony, to live out my testimony, I have the right to make him known. So he wrote to Timothy and said, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day." Let your words be a reflection of gratitude for being in a personal relationship with Christ. That doesn't mean that you have to wear a big cross everywhere you go. It doesn't mean you've got to wear a Christian t-shirt every day of your life. It simply means this: but be comfortable talking about your personal relationship with Jesus. When he comes up, don't avoid the subject. Don't back up. Be comfortable. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, you know, when I fly on a plane, the first thing I do is pray and say, "Lord, if you got somebody next to me you want me to talk to, let me know." And sometimes I do. And sometimes I get that look that says, "Don't even acknowledge I'm here." And you respect that. Or they put on their headphones and you realize they've got other things on their mind. But from time to time, I've been in some comfortable conversations. One of my favorite experiences years ago, I got onto a plane and was sat next to a young man, and he was reading a book, and I kind of said, "Tell me about your book," and we talked on, and he talked a little while and I talked a little while, and after about 15 minutes I looked at him and I said, "You're trying to find a way to witness to me, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Me too." And then we had a really good conversation. It was interesting. Be comfortable with who you are and talk about your faith. The Bible says when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, talk easily about him to your family. Let your faith be a natural part of who you are. Don't wait till you bring your kids to church on Sunday and think, now somebody else can talk to them about the Bible. Somebody else can talk to them about the Lord. Somebody else can talk to them. Because that's your job. And those times when I get to sit down with a mom and dad and one of their children who's made the decision to trust Christ, it always means the most when all I say, when all I do is put the period at the end of the sentence, because it's already been handled at home. That's what matters. That's what matters. Talk about your faith. Let the words flow out of your life and out of your mouth and into their lives. Then Paul says, Timothy, commit yourself to blessing your family with empowering words. Paul wanted Timothy to hold tight what he'd learned about Christ. Then he reminded Timothy of how he had learned those things. He said, you learn those things in two ways. You learn them from the Word of God, because you've been able to hold that timeless truth, that thing that's author is God Himself, and grow in the Word. But the second thing is the guidance that Paul had given him. This is what he said. He said, hold fast the pattern of sound words. The pattern, the example. What does it mean to walk with God? Let me find somebody I can watch and follow their pattern. And it really needs to be the one who leads my home, who sets the pattern. Paul didn't tell Timothy how to live a godly life without showing him the way. And that's how you bless your family. Your words are reinforced by your actions. And you're giving the ones who love you the most and know you the best permission to watch you and imitate you and follow you. That's why when Paul wrote to Timothy, hold fast the pattern of sound words, he completed the sentence with, which you have heard from me. Hold fast the pattern that you saw in my life. And that's what we're supposed to do when we bring the blessing home. We bring it home by bringing the words to our house. It's an incredibly humbling challenge, but it's what the Lord has told you to do. Here's a simple blessing. This is how you bless your family. If you haven't heard anything else this morning, this is how you bless your family. Say it, show it. The end. Say it, show it. One without the other is useless. Both of them are necessary. And that's why Paul offered Timothy a final challenge. He said, let your words be seasoned with grace. Let the things you say reflect the character of Christ. Let God's love be displayed in the way that you say them. As you live in the presence of your family, let your walk with God be the explanation for everything about you. Let His love be reflected in your life. Never underestimate the power of words to bless the lives of others. Because the right word in the right way at the right time can change everything. Let me show you what I mean. Years ago, there was a pastor, a preaching professor named Fred Craddock, who had gone on vacation with his wife. They were in Gatlinburg. And they had gotten up one morning, gone to a restaurant for breakfast, and had just sat down and ordered when this tall man who was sitting across the other side of the restaurant came walking over to them, and he said to Dr. Craddock, excuse me, but can you tell me what you do for a living? And he said, well, I'm a preaching professor at a seminary. He said, I knew it. I saw you, I knew it. I said, there's a preacher across the room. I need to talk to that man. And he pulled a chair up, sat down next to him, and said, I want to tell you a story. Well, I have to be honest, what Fred Craddock thought at that moment was, great, here I am on vacation and somebody wants to tell me another preacher story. But he wanted to be polite, so he sat and listened. And the guy said, I just want to tell you a story. He said, I want to tell you a story about a little boy that grew up in a little mountain town about 40 miles from here, way up in the middle of nowhere. There's still nobody there. And he said, that little boy grew up and his mother was not married. In fact, he never knew who his father was. He grew up in this little town as the only boy in town who did not have a father. If there's any time he hated the first day of school. Because the first day of school, the new teacher would go around the room and talk to the kids and ask each one about their name and about their family. And always, sooner or later, it would be, so who is your father? And he had no answer to give. And he was not stupid. He saw how other parents in town told their children to keep their distance from him. Don't get too close. There was a little church in town, and he liked hearing the church bells ring on Sunday morning. And a lot of Sundays, he would make his way down and sit outside that little church and listen to the music as it was being sung inside, but he never went inside because he knew nobody really wanted him there. When he was about 12 years old, a new pastor came to town. And he heard everybody talking about him. They really liked him. They thought this guy was really special. And after a while, the little boy got very curious about what this fellow was like. And he decided, I'm going to try to go hear this new preacher. So he waited till the service had started. And he sneaked in and he got into a back corner. And he said to himself, nobody saw me coming in, and before the service is over, I can get up and slip out, and nobody will ever know I was here. But it was the first time he'd ever been in the service, and everything about it he loved. He loved the songs. He loved the prayers. The preacher was really good. You know, we all like good preachers. And before he knew it, the service had ended and he had forgotten to get up and find his way out. And the new preacher was standing at the only door that led out of the building. So he kind of waited around the edges of the crowd, and he waited until there was a couple that was meeting the new pastor for the first time. And he slipped around behind him and he thought he'd made his way out. And then he felt this big hand on his shoulder. And he turned around, and it was the new preacher. And he said, son, I don't think I've met you yet. Who is your dad? And he just looked at the floor. He was really embarrassed, and everybody around him got really silent. And the pastor realized something was going on, and this is what he said. He said, oh, I know who you are. You're the Lord's boy. And he let him go. And that little boy came back to church the next Sunday and back to church the next Sunday. And the day came when he trusted Christ for his own Savior. And as he grew up, he found a way to make it to college and leave that little town and get a degree. And he said, and after that, he spent his whole life trying to find ways to make a difference for God because somebody reminded him of who he was. And every now and then when somebody would say, so who is your father? He would say, I'm the Lord's child. And he said, as time went by, he was given more and more opportunities to make a difference, and he used his life in ways he never would have except for that one moment in his life. And the man stood up and he said, and I just wanted to tell you that story because that's my story. And that's what God has done for me. And he walked back to his table and he sat back down again. A few minutes later, the waitress came by and was refilling the coffee for the Craddocks. And he said, excuse me, I just want to know something. Do you know who that man is? And she said, yeah, everybody around here knows him. We love him. His name is Ben Hooper. He was the governor of Tennessee. What a difference a word can make when the word is used to be a blessing. So God calls us to do that. Well, maybe your words won't ever bring out someone who will be the next governor of Alabama or the next president of the United States. But your words can build up those around you and make such a difference. And especially when you take them home. Because that's where the biggest blessing is to be given. God calls us to bless our families. He calls us to do that with a loving touch. And he calls us to do it with an encouraging word that can change a life forever. And may that word is a word of testimony. A word that says, you know what? What the Lord did for Ben Hooper so long ago, he can do in your life as well. And maybe today you're here and you need to trust Christ. And you've known it for a long time and you've struggled with it, but today's the day. In a moment we're going to stand, we're going to sing our invitation hymn. And if you're here today and you would like to become a believer, if you'll just come to where I am, I'll be more than glad to introduce you to Christ. He can change your life forever. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing God wants me to be a part of what he's doing here at this church, and you want to come and become a member of First Baptist, not just someone who attends, but someone who belongs. And we'll be glad to surround you with a loving church family. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God's Spirit moves, you come. Let's stand together. It's been a good day to be in God's house together. I'm glad we got to share this time. And we are so grateful for you all coming to be with us today and visit with us. It was a pleasure to be with you all yesterday, and so good. Now, I'll have to say this, Rabbi, your group, your congregation right now is saying they're already through. And we are, except we're going to be taking them downstairs and sharing a lunchtime with them. It's going to be a very special time. It's been a great weekend that we've enjoyed. Herbie, thank you so much for all you did to arrange this time. And we're so grateful to have our Director of Missions, Chris Crane, who's been with us today. Chris, I'm going to ask you if you would come and if you make your way to the pulpit and say our closing prayer and then one final song and we'll be dismissed.
May we pray together. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord, we thank you that this morning we've been able to lift our eyes up high to see you. And Lord, as we go out this week, as we look out around us and we see the challenges, we know how great a God you are. Thank you for our friends at First Baptist Birmingham today. We pray that you would bless each person who's come. Lord, that you would richly bless them. We thank you for our Jewish friends who are with us today. We ask that each one would experience you today, that they would know your love, that they would know that they are cared for by this wonderful congregation. Lord, thank you so much for all you do for us in Christ. Bless us as we go, in Jesus' name. And all God's church said, amen.